Before we open God's word, let's pray for his spirit to be sent upon us. Our Father in heaven, we pray that our hearts may be opened by your word, so that we might receive comfort and correction. May you send your spirit into our midst, so that we might see how we are to learn from what you have revealed to us, and that we may continue to take that knowledge and apply it to our hearts and lives. Thank you for bringing us here today, and thank you for gathering us together. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we'll be reading from Genesis chapter 18. So I encourage you to open to Genesis chapter 18. We'll be reading the first 15 verses together. Genesis 18. And the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourself under the tree, while I bring a morsel of bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, Do as you have said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, Quick, three sheaves of fine flour, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to a young man who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and a calf that had been prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, Where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, She is in the tent. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, After I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, Why did Sarah laugh and say, Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year, and Sarah shall have a son. But Sarah denied it, saying, I did not laugh, for she was afraid. He said, No, but you did laugh. Brothers and sisters in Christ, trusting in the Lord is something that is very difficult for all of us. We are often tempted to place more trust in ourselves rather than in the promises that God has given to us, especially when that promise seems inconceivable or impossible. People have often broken their promises to us, so we assume that God in the same way will not be faithful to his promises. But brothers and sisters, God always keeps his promises. Have you ever been promised something, someone promised to do something for you or give you something, only to have them forget about that promise? Or they're unable to bring about that promise? But God has promised something in this text, something that seemed impossible, inconceivable, too wonderful to believe. God promised a child to Abraham and Sarah, even though they were both old, and Sarah was barren. God has given a big promise to someone who has a dead womb. Today we will see the impossibility of that promise, and we will also see the certainty of that promise. Now, the promises that God gave appear to be impossible when we look at it from our human ability. God had promised a son to Abraham back in chapter 15. But in chapter 18, God comes specifically within the hearing range of Sarah. In Sarah's eyes, this promise was impossible for various reasons. The promise of a son seems inconceivable. Now, the first reason that Sarah did not believe this promise is because she had a dead womb. Already in chapter 11, we are told that Sarah was barren and had no children. In fact, almost every time we are introduced to Sarah, we find out that she has no children, and the Lord had closed her womb. She had no hope of having a child. God had closed that womb for a specific reason, though, so that he might work in her a mighty deed to show his awesome power. When faced with the promises of God, we either laugh in unbelief or we trust in faith. Remember that God had promised a child to Abraham 25 years ago. So Sarah had waited 25 years and seen nothing. She had only grown older. And the hope of this promise had slipped away and fallen through her fingers. Sarah was filled with hopelessness. You see, this promise of God seemed to expire with age. And Sarah remained in her barren condition. The second reason why Sarah could not believe this promise because she was past the age of childbirth. Literally, the days of childbirth were discontinued. Sarah was post-menopause. She was no longer able to produce a seed. A point comes in every woman's life where their body changes and they stop producing the necessary hormones for producing a child. In verse 11, we read, "Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of a woman had ceased to be with Sarah." It could be literally translated as, "The days of producing children had passed." Sarah had long ago lost any hope of being the mother of a child. And the promise that God gave to her seemed impossible. But having children is important for even us today. But in the Old Testament time period, it was crucial because God had promised Abraham a chosen seed, that a covenant child would come from both Abraham and Sarah. If they did not have a child, that promise was invalid. Children carried hope for the future, a covenant. Without a child, Abraham's line would be dead. He would have no seed. And the Messiah could not come. Abraham and Sarah were in a stage of crisis here. They needed to have children in order for the Savior to be able to come. No children means no Savior. And no covenant promise that could be trusted. We need a child to come for the Savior to come. The line of Christ needed to be established. And at this very point in history, that line was almost wiped out. Without a seed, without a covenant child, the serpent would triumph and the church would fail. Now, the third reason that Sarah could not believe this promise is because she was an old lady. She was 90 years old. In this chapter, we see again and again, verse 11, 12, and 13. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old. Verse 12, "After I am worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have this pleasure." Verse 13, "Now that I am old." Abraham and Sarah are both very old. We're continually told that again and again and again. The promises of God had seemed to die with their age. And Sarah was now coming to grips with the fact that she would never have a child. Having waited many, many years, Abraham and Sarah have succumbed to sin and tried to introduce Hagar, a slave, an Egyptian, to bring about the covenant child. How could it be that now at 90 years old, that she would have a child. Now that she is old and worn out. Today, when we see on the news that a 50-year-old woman has a child, we marvel. That's amazing. Sarah was 90. Even though God had promised something, the human skeptic seems to deny the possibility. She was worn out like a rag, like an old piece of clothing that had outlived its usefulness. 25 years after the promise had been given. Perhaps 25 years ago, when Sarah was 65, when the promise was first given, that's possible to have a child, maybe, but 90? It's impossible. Because of these facts, Sarah laughs to herself. She has found this promise too good to be true. She has placed her own human limitations in opposition to God and His Word. This is a response of doubt and unbelief. She regards her own ability and she sees it as impossible. Medically speaking, they could not have a child. Sarah was depressed, overwhelmed by despair. She was beyond hope. The darkness of this situation has overcome her. Brothers and sisters, have you ever been in a situation like this? When hope seems to fade, when the promises of God seem too good to be true, this hopeless Sarah is the one that God in His great mercy comes to and gives hope to again. How and when do we laugh at God? When do we see the promises of God as something too good to be true? As inconceivable? Promises like, ask and you shall receive, or trust in the Lord and He will direct your path, or God works all things to the good of those who love Him? Do we believe these words, or do we laugh in our hearts of unbelief? These promises seem impossible. But the God that we serve is far more wondrous than we could ever believe. You see, Sarah forgot who had given this promise and who will make this promise to come true. A promise is only as good as the person who makes it. If a child were to make a promise, that promise could not be banked upon, but the promises of God are sure and valid. When looking at God's promises, if we continue to keep our eyes on ourselves, on our own human inability, we will laugh in despair. It was easier for Sarah to make God a liar than to trust in His word. Sarah knows the promise, she has heard the promise, but it's too wonderful for her. And even when she's confronted with her sin of unbelief, she lies again to cover her tracks. She knows that she should believe, but believing God is hard when we look at it from our human standards. God had made a promise, and He cannot break that promise. We have been called to trust the promises of God and not to laugh in unbelief. Our lack of trust, our lack of faith in God and His Word is a great offense to Him. The grace of God is seen in that He not only gives the promise, He not only gives us His Word, but He guarantees this promise and makes it certain and brings it to be. You see, Sarah was relying on her own strength. She looked at her human ability and she found a child impossible. But the beauty of this promise is that God brings it to fulfillment. The certainty comes because of the promise giver. God in His grace does what seems to be impossible by our human eyes. Sarah and Abraham were as good as dead. But God comes to them and tells them the certainty of this promise. God comes in a visit with angels, and He tells them again that this promise will come true. God had promised Abraham a child before, but now God comes within the hearing of Sarah to reaffirm this promise once again. In verse 9, God asks, where is Sarah? So that Sarah's ears might perk up, so that she might know that God is going to speak about her and that God was talking to her. Sarah, listen up. This promise is not going to come through your servant. It is coming through you and Abraham. God, in his grace, comes to this weather-beaten, barren woman and comforts her and retells her this promise. He calls her by her covenantal name, Sarah, the name of blessing, the name that means you're going to have children and nations are going to come from your womb. And the covenant will continue. God repeats this promise to Sarah. Sarah is sought out after. She is gone after and assured this promise. Both Sarah and Abraham have tried their own ways to help God along. They introduce Hagar into the picture. God rejects this and reaffirms his original promise through Abraham and Sarah. This blessed couple I have chosen to work through. Throughout these last chapters, God continues to reveal more specifically how this promise is going to take place. First, a child is promised. Then a son is promised. And now a son is promised through Abraham, not Hagar, and Sarah. The blessed couple will have a son. That is certain. The all-powerful and all-knowing God stoops down to reassure this couple. And in the second place, God proves that he will return. Read with me verse 10. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. In the Hebrew, we find two similar words back to back, which proves the absolute fact that God will return. Returning, I will certainly return to you. God promises that he will return. And when he returns, they shall have a child. It's going to happen. You can bank on this fact. You can be assured that I will come back. God is good to his word, and he will carry about his promise. God cannot lie, and he cannot break his word. God will return with blessings in his wings and a child for this dead couple. He will come back with hope. Thirdly, a specific time is set for the birth of this child. The historical reality is one that you can set your watch to. Not only is the couple selected, but a time is even ordained. Verse 14. Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you about this time next year. The time is selected. It's a time of birth. The birth cycle, as long as it takes for a child to be conceived and given birth to, is the appointed time. And I will surely return to you, and you will have a son. The certainty of this birth is proven in that a specific time is given. It's easy to give a promise. Yeah, I'll give you $100 someday. But if you give a specific time, well, then you know that you can set your watch and you can find out exactly, okay, you have given me your promise. I'm going to be here this time tomorrow. Is that promise going to happen? Is it going to come true? Or is it a vain promise? No, it is a true promise. And Isaac was born. Finally, we come to the crux or the hinge of this whole passage. Verse 14 shatters all doubt and reassures the most faint of heart. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too difficult for the God who created all things out of nothing in 6 days? Is anything too difficult for our Lord to do? All who hear this question must respond with a heartfelt, no, God always keeps his promises. The Father will not let his child be forsaken. Nothing within creation and within redemption is impossible for our God to do. If God promises a child to a couple that is as good as dead, he will bring it to be. This is a call to faith, brothers and sisters, a call to believe, to trust in God's word. God tells Sarah to look to him for the fulfillment. Don't look to your own human inabilities. The couple is to rely completely on God and not their own power. If God promises a seed, if God promises a son, if God promises redemption, he will be faithful to his word. If God promises a blessing, it will surely take place. God is not like us. He does not make promises and then forget them. He does not give his word lightly. And he never forsakes his children. He made everything out of 6 days from nothing. Can he not bring life from a dead womb? Can he not bring his son from a dead tomb? Is anything too difficult for our God? This promise comes to you, brothers and sisters, today. Is anything too difficult for our God? If not, then why do you refuse to place your trust in him? Why do you continue to look to yourself and trust in yourself when you know that we are dead? But with God, all things are possible. When trials come, when sickness enters your life, why do you look to your own power? Do not despair, brothers and sisters. Trust in the Lord. Is anything too hard for our God? No. And that's why you must place your faith in him. The unbelief of Sarah is completely unwarranted. She and we must place our eyes on the Lord. The promises of God are not placed on human ability. Rather, God brings about his fulfillment in spite of human ability. He uses frailty and weakness to magnify his name. It would seem natural for a young couple in their 20s or 30s to bring forth a child. But God uses a dead womb, old people, and someone who is post-menopause. It's impossible. But he brings about a child so that everyone who hears that story may say, "It's impossible. How can that happen?" Is anything too difficult for the Lord? No. And we must marvel at God's strength, at his ability to bring forth a child. We are so much like Sarah, but we must trust and look to the promise of God, the promise of God to work in our hearts. When we see these grand promises, and when we look at ourselves, our own sin-stained, wretched hearts, we see the impossibility of these promises. But God works in us because we are weak, so that his glory might be magnified. Brothers and sisters, you are dead in sin, but alive in Christ. How much more glorious is God's grace when you are snatched from the clutches of death and given life eternal. Sarah's dead womb provides the perfect opportunity for God to work his wonders so that the entire world might be amazed. God brings life from death in Abraham and in Sarah, in Jesus Christ, and in us. God has complete control over every aspect of the story. He works all things according to his plan. Do we believe that? Can we see the struggle of faith? Sarah had been told this promise. Her human heart just couldn't accept it, couldn't grasp the greatness of God. Much like our hearts often fail to grasp God's greatness. The history of church is in crisis in this story. A child needed to be born so that the Messiah could come. God brings this about through a dead couple. He is sovereign over this whole situation. Nothing, not even our human frailty or inability, can stop God's work. God brings life from death and does as he pleases. Nothing can thwart the direction that God has set. The gift of a son relies completely on divine intervention. The son was a fulfillment of promise, and it pointed to the coming Savior. The work of salvation completely relies on divine intervention, and that continues throughout the rest of history. God opens dead wombs and even gives a child to a virgin so that they can bring forth a son. The Virgin Mary responded to the promise of a son by asking this question: how can this be? What did the angel respond by saying? For God, nothing is impossible. Is our salvation too difficult for the Lord? With God, all things are possible. Our salvation is possible. Is anything too difficult for the Lord? No. Our Lord works all things for his glory. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do give thanks that you have continued to work in our hearts and lives in giving us your Son so that we can continue to marvel at your greatness and your glory. We can receive life when we were dead. Thank you for this story and the reassurance that it gives to us, and that you provided a son so that we might be saved. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our song of application is 4.